Okay, brothers, thank you for listening to that teaching that I brought you. You had to listen to me for almost 25 minutes or however long it was. What say you about effeminate ways must go? Give me your insight, your challenges, your testing, your additions. What say you?
I have a couple scripture verses, and the culture is way too PC. They've made their own rules, and whenever you try to stand for God's ways, they try to label you as unsensitive, uncaring. But this is God's world, not theirs.
Yeah, amen.
The scriptures I was thinking of, I didn't catch you quoting 1 Corinthians 16:13. Is that in your notes?
No.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, I could have used that in there. That's an awesome verse, brother.
Also, Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths.
Feminism alert. Boop, 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 boop. That definitely is a feminism alert. And we see that in the culture today. You don't know how many men I talk to that they don't have time to stand and talk about, and they claim to be Christians because they don't have time to stand and talk about God. You know why? Because they got to go run because their wife's got some benefit to be at. The kids have got to go to baseball practice. My daughter's in soccer or swimming class, and they're running around basically serving their wife and their children in worldly pursuits. That's exactly the type of thing Isaiah's talking about when we let, you know, feminist views rule us. Good verses, brother. Anybody else? Anybody else? Brother Patrick, what say you?
I've got a few verses and thoughts. First one was 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word fear also means timid. God hasn't given us the spirit of timidity. If we claim to be the saints of God with the Holy Spirit of God, we should not be timid or fearful.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not of the spirit of God.
Yeah, can I throw one thing in, like Brother Kevin said, and you're kind of tying that in there. If you call things out, if you speak in a bold manner, if you speak the oracles and truth of God, you're called insensitive. How many times in the streets I'm told I'm being unloving just because I'm telling the truth about God? I don't have to be exposing anybody's sin. All I have to do is warn of hell and God's judgment that's coming and say the good news, Christ made a way. And they say, oh, you are so mean. Why would you tell people they're going to hell? That's mean. I said, well, I didn't tell them they're going to hell. I said, if they don't repent, the Bible says they're going to go to hell. They're going to decide that. But we've watered down, not we, the culture, Satan has watered it down so far that everyone needs to just pamper femininely and effeminately and timidly everyone else's delusional false ways, that if you speak against it, it's unloving. That is right from the pits of hell.
Oh, yes. It's not of God. There's a secular saying, but I think it rings with truth. Facts don't care about your feelings.
Wait, say that again, brother?
It's a secular saying, but it has truth to it, I think. Facts don't care about your feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Amen to that. Amen to that.
Another verse I had that shows, and this is a huge one in the culture. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like in America, but in Canada, it's a huge, huge issue where all of the women don't want to be keepers at home. They want to run around with a career, whatever that is. And the men stay at home taking care of the kids.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot down here.
That's so backwards.
Yep.
A godly man will provide for those of his own house and for his own. That's, if he is not, he's denied the faith.
Yeah.
That word denied means to contradict, to disavow.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Let me say one other note, if I could. I brought up how Adam was created to be a worker. I think when they create this picture of Adam, they create a guy sitting like on a bed of flowers, sitting there doing nothing, and God just had angels doing all the work. That's not what we see. God put him in the garden to tend it. We've had big gardens. Gardens take a lot of work. And when you see how God intended man to be, and then when you see how they want man to be today and how they basically want to strip hard work out of you and strip an ethic out of you and feminize man, you can see that it definitely is Satan's design.
Yeah, it's all backwards. And then my last verse kind of ties into this. It's kind of hopefully not opening a completely different topic here, but on the subject of why feminism starts and where it starts, I believe it starts here. Test me to this. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. I would point to this headship and the sin against it as being perhaps the root behind feminism and why it's completely incompatible with Christ. Because the way I see it, God's created this hierarchy here. You have God, Christ, man, woman, in that order. And we know that God and Christ never change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change, and he is not going to change. And Christ is the head of man. When man or woman then try to go out of their God-ordained place, the men being those who are supposed to have their place, quit ye like men, be strong, be bold, be workers, provide for your own house, lead your women, be the spiritual head, all of those things, there's a ton of them. The women are to be submitted unto the men, to be godly helpmeet, to be keepers at home, to be holy, to be submissive, to be all of those things that a godly, holy woman is. When they go outside of this order in any way, there is, the only alternative here is this. When either the man or the woman is responsible for that trying to switch, where woman becomes the head of man in any way, or man degrades himself by not having his position to put himself under a woman, the only two options are, A, they're trying to put Christ beneath the woman, or the woman is rising up to try to be above Christ because Christ is the head of man. She cannot stick herself in there because Christ is not the head of the woman. Logically then, the only alternative is they push Christ completely out of the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, well, isn't that exactly what we saw in the garden?
Yeah.
I mean, in a subtle way, Eve went outside of her husband when she shouldn't have.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes, and feminism is still rooted in this when the men do not hold their God-given place as men, and they either are the ones who are effeminate and feminized and basically put themselves out of their place to be under woman, or it's the women who are feminized and try to rise up to take the position of the man. Either way, the alternative is a sin of pride. Have you ever considered this? If a woman is trying to rise up to be above a man, is she not trying to take the place of Christ?
Well, yeah, if you look at it from, yeah, Christ is the head of man, yeah, absolutely.
And if man is effeminate and puts himself under a woman, is he not trying to take the glory of God and put it under flesh and blood?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. That's why feminism...
It's a serious sin.
Yeah, that's why feminism is so wicked and such a cancer in society, because it's a direct attack against the family unit that God ordained. And that's why the culture is totally falling apart, because that order that God put together has been destroyed by Satan and the culture. And now the root of that is a lot of divorce. I told somebody not long ago, last stat I read was like 70% of divorces are requested by women. They want to break free. They want to do their own thing. And then you have lesbianism and sodomy because men are being feminized. And then you have transgenderism. And go way back, goddess worship. That's feminization. They're creating their own gods. And I don't know, this is a whole other teaching. I think we talked about this once. I don't think it was on audio. This whole transgender thing, there's a lot of people out there saying it's satanic. I believe homosexuality is satanic. Transgenderism, I believe, is satanic. And they said that go back and look at other cultures. When they worship women, when they had like goddesses that they worship, the men that were priests would emasculate themselves to serve the woman, serve the woman gods. And they said this was all demon inspired. And they think people say a lot of this transgenderism is just demons. It's just the demonic world expressing itself more and more to destroy God's creation. And I believe it.
Yes.
Brother Kuo, what say you about all this?
So I took the angle, like you were talking about the culture and how everyone's living so soft these days with all of the amenities and everything like that. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, this is a judgment from God for like the Western worlds, at least the Western worlds, probably the whole world. But I have a few verses on that. If we look at Sodom and how sodomy and effeminacy and all of that was going on there, what was one of their sins that the Lord said they committed? We'll go to Ezekiel 16:49-50. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. So we always look at Sodom as like homosexuality or sodomy, these things, but what was the root cause of that? And I think it has something to do with abundance of idleness. They were full of everything. They had all of the amenities. They didn't have to do anything. Fullness of bread. So then, because the men weren't working, men weren't doing what they were designed to do, they pushed God out of the picture, they're worshiping these idols and whatnot, then they become effeminate. The women rise up, start painting their faces, all sorts, and then things just go, as we see like in America, around the world, that's just the trend. And here's another verse, Psalm 17:14. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest and with thy hid treasure, they are all full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. And so I look at what's going on in the world right now, all of the effeminate men, all of just the feminization, as a judgment from God, the same as Sodom. Sodom was like an example. And that's kind of the angle I took on that, with like the whole softness thing going on.
Yeah, that's a great concept, brother. Way to bring that up. Yeah, idleness. Let me talk about that for a minute. So I grew up on a farm, and when you grow up and you have to like grow your own food, and you have to build things, and you have to maintain it, and you got to like plow your snow. Nobody's doing it for you, and you got to do this stuff. You work hard. There's not a lot of time for entertainment. There's not a lot of time for going out and getting in trouble. And the people, and I grew up in an age that was more mechanical. I didn't have computers when I grew up. But you go way back in the Bible days, those people lived hard lives. I mean, it took them all day to just work, kill, or put food on the table, go get water. It took them all day. Bare survival. Look at people. I'm sitting here in a parking lot. People run to Walmart, grab a bunch of food, go home. They got nothing better to do. They flip on the TV and they're watching porn or violent movies or football or all kinds of stuff. If they had to labor for their food just to survive, they wouldn't be soft and they wouldn't be getting feminized by the culture. And this has been Satan's plan. Satan's plan with the media was overtake the world and the culture, get their focus on TV, entertainment, sports, politics, get them out of the work that God put us to do to keep our hands busy. Work with your hands, mind your own business. Satan said, I'm going to make their life really easy and cushy so then I can distract their souls and destroy them. That's what he's done.
Exactly, yep.
Any thoughts on that, Brother Kevin?
Sounds exactly like how he works. Give man everything he wants and let him destroy himself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, Kevin, give me some examples of feminism you've seen in your young life. You're only about 30 years old, roughly, or something. Give me an example of feminism that you've seen.
When you're trying to preach to people, women coming right up to you and being directly in your space. That's one. I see once in a while, like, women will lead their boyfriends around, and those expressions like happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
Just some real high-level overviews for
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah. If mama's happy, everybody's happy, that type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about, Brother Kevin, can I ask you, how about your home life? Was there was there feminization there?
Oh, yes. It seems like, yeah, just not great.
Can you give me an example?
Women deciding what to do.
Over the men.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I had contact with a couple of your aunts, and they seemed pretty feminized when they emailed me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Brother Patrick? Can you give us some examples of what, from your Canadian viewpoint, what you see?
Oh, feminism is rampant. You see it everywhere. You see it, like I said, with women working, men not working. A woman covering her head. Well, how about covering their form, much less their head? That goes both ways. Men and women are both effeminate and feminized there. They're running around with uncovered heads. You've got more women in politics and everywhere else trying to run everything. Women being leaders again. You've got, in the whole Christianity religious system, again, you've got the women trying to lead everything and the men being effeminized, weak, not standing up, letting women pastors rule the body. You've got, like, there's just tons of it everywhere. You see weak, effeminate men all over the place who don't even want to speak God's truth. You see it when you're in the streets and you'd want to witness to a young couple or something, and the man, the husband, he might stand, if they're married, you can call him a husband, I don't know, I'd say the man, because half of them aren't anymore. The man would stop and talk to you, and the next thing you know, the woman's like, oh, we gotta go, and next minute just drag off their husband.
Yeah.
And the husband is weak and effeminate, and he's just like, okay, honey, and they just walk off, and it's rampant, it's all over.
Yeah. Yeah, and because of the, like in America, because of the divorce laws and everything the way they are, you know, men have confided in me. They're like, if I make my wife mad, she'll divorce me, take half my 401k, half the house, half my retirement. She'll just take everything, maybe even. And they're just in bondage because you got feminist judges, feminist laws, and it just totally has destroyed God's order. And we do see it all over. I think that the churches allowing it and promoting it is probably one of the most heinous things, because they do it in Christ's name, and they're going to answer to God for that. It's a terrible thing. When the lost world does it, it's one thing. When these pastors are promoting it, the harlotry and the usurping of authority and the homosexuality that's coming in. We were at a Presbyterian church not long ago preaching outside, and Sister Amon was talking to an older woman. You wouldn't think this would come from an older woman. She was probably 60. You wouldn't think this would come from an older woman. You would think it would come from some young Presbyterian. Sister Amon was witness to her, and it didn't go well, and the woman was pushing back. And the woman, Sister Amon was telling her things like, you know, your church system is prideful. You won't obey God, and was giving her reasons why. And the lady yelled out, well, we should fly our pride flag for you. You'd really like that. And they waved this sodomy, lesbianism, transgender. They even call themselves queers. It's hard for me to even say that word. When I grew up, that word queer was a slang word. If you called somebody a queer, that was like the worst thing you could call somebody. These people literally want to be called queers now. They say, I'm queer and I'm happy about it. It's a crazy world that we live in. And this lady said we should fly our pride flag. And it's being overtaken everywhere in all levels. And as Patrick said, it is the root of it is feminism. And we need to definitely stand against it. Any other thoughts about this?
Yeah, I have one more scripture here that I think actually ties into the more sexual perverted side of things. When you read Romans 26 and 27 about basically, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. This cause is basically shown in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I think at the root cause of it all is basically, I think we see that in the entire culture around us, where people, while the truth of God has been changed into a lie, we see that with thousands of false religious systems. And we see them worshiping and serving the creation and the creature more than the Creator. They actually will serve, you can see that as the root cause of a lot of the reasons why God will give them up to those vile affections.
Oh, yeah.
You see it in pet idolatry. You see it in basically the entire Hollywood entertainment industry, where they lift up men, they worship body image, they worship models, they worship movies, they worship the creation and the creature more than the Creator. And it's for this cause, this idolatry, falling away, rebellion, and mocking of God. And God says that they are without excuse.
Yeah.
For this cause, God gives them up, and this is what's happening. And this is why it's just going to keep getting darker and darker and more rebellious until the Lord comes back in flaming fire to just destroy it all and purge it.
Yeah. What, if you do a history study, one of the last things that is in a culture before it's totally destroyed is sexual perversion. So I tell people when I'm street preaching that America and the world, most of the Western countries, are already under the judgment of God because they've fallen so far, and sexual perversion is like the last thing before a empire or a nation crumbles. And America and Canada and other Western nations are definitely in that vein. Brother Kevin, Brother Cool, any other thoughts on this?
I think it comes back to young men. We have to be sober-minded. I think this culture is pushing young men down a specific path where everything is feminized in the media. Everything is, if you speak out against feminism, I mean, I've seen it out preaching, especially with Brother Tupos, and it just lights up people like you wouldn't believe. Like, the spirits are just stirred up instantly. Yeah. There's a lot of spirits of feminization out there, and it's just being sober-minded, understanding that this is in the culture, and whatever a man esteems, God abhors. And
amen.
We have to keep ourselves from it.
Yeah.
Because it's like the most cancerous thing in one of the most cancerous things in our culture right now.
I can't think of anything worse, because you said it. When we go out street preaching, the number one issue that I could preach on just about anything, and most people will just ignore. If I preach on feminization, 20 people go, oh, they start moaning and they call me mean and they want to run me out of there. Yeah, it is like the number one topic. And I know when you said the spirits of feminization, I know you don't mean actual demon spirits of feminization. You mean the many forces of it at work out there in the culture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Because some people believe that there's a spirit of feminization, a spirit of Jezebel, spirit of this, and I know we don't believe that, and I just wanted to clear that up in case anybody's watching or listening. I know Brother Kuo doesn't believe there's a physical spirit of feminization. There's just the spirits are at work, the demons are at work, and we're in a battle. We read Ephesians 6 yesterday. We're in a battle against the powers of darkness, and it's a spiritual battle, and that's what this all is. Homosexuality, lesbianism, feminism, this is all a spiritual battle. So before we close out this audio, I thought this would be good. Ready? Let's go around. So what can we men of God, since we're all men here, the women can figure out what they need to do. Sister Amon can maybe do an audio and help some sisters think about that. But what can we men of God do to counter feminism in our culture? What can we do?
Speak up.
I'll start with Brother Patrick.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong.
What does that mean, brother?
It means that we stand in the faith on the truth of God, that we have not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, of a sound mind, that we stand fast in the faith. We don't be wavered from it, and we basically stand up like actual men and are strong and bold in it, and we be that example. To preach and stand boldly for God against the wickedness and the perversion of the corrupt kingdom of Satan.
Amen. Amen. Stand in the doctrines, preach the gospel, don't waver, don't bend, even if it hurts people's feelings. We know it's godly and loving to do it. Brother Kevin, what say you? What else can we men of God do?
Let people know their God-ordained role.
Yeah.
1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Yeah, that's a good
God's
one.
God's order, how things are, proclaim it boldly.
Yeah.
Amen. Honor God.
Amen. Amen. Good one. How about you, Brother Kuo?
I'm going to go the vein because this is something, especially going to college, especially just being in that world, all the effeminacy, rip it out, cluck it out, cut it off, remove yourself from it. If you have to, smash your phone, smash your laptop, whatever you have to do, because it's a cancer, and if you let it spread, you'll become more effeminate, you'll give into it, so rip it out. And start living like a man that God wants you to be. That's my advice.
Amen. Amen. Good words, brother. I would say that men of God, everything you guys said is true. And I would say men of God today need to study to be approved. And then we can live out those things like Patrick and Kevin talked about and you talked about. And then we need to be examples of the opposite. So remember, all of us brothers are writing down like our five top things we need to work on that are, we would consider our five biggest either shortcomings or faults or whatever. And so we're going to do that. And then we're going to help each other how to fix them. Well, one of our plans, how to fix them is let's say my flesh gets to me a lot. Well, I'll just say that's my number one thing. Let's say my flesh gets to me a lot. Well, we're not going to sit there every day and focus on our flesh. Look at my flesh. Oh, my flesh. Boy, my flesh is going to get me. Boy, my flesh is really bad. No, we're not going to focus on the flesh. What we're going to do is we're going to focus on the opposite, and that is walking in the Spirit. And we're going to focus on how to walk in the Spirit, what to be doing, what to be living, what to be saying, preaching, praying about, fasting about. And that's going to kill our flesh. So we're looking for the antidote to the sickness. We're not focused on the sickness. When you find out you have cancer, you don't just focus on the cancer. If there is a cure or something you can do, you say to the doctor, well, what could we do about it? If you cut your arm open and you're bleeding, you don't just look at the blood. You go, maybe I can close this thing up and stop the bleeding. So I would say being examples to everyone around us that might want a better way, might want to seek after Christ, and they can say, wow, these guys, these men are totally different. And then they look in Scripture and they go, that's what God's word says. We should be like that. We should be examples to the culture. And we know not many are going to want to follow our example, but we're looking for the sheep, and we know our example glorifies God. So I think that's what we can all help each other do, is to be examples against this cancer. And then, as you all said, we can love our wives, and we can lift up the women that are godly and promote them. We can help women that want to come out of the culture and not be feminists. We can help them. And we can stand and be strong, like Brother Patrick said. Rip it out, tear it out, pluck it out, whatever you got to do. If you're in a job and you have feminist bosses and feminist women and they're ruling over you, flee that as soon as you can and find something where you can be a man as God created you to be and not be fitting right into this feminist culture at every turn. Rebel against it. Turn from it. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee. We don't go along with him. The Bible tells us do not conform to the culture, but be transformed. So the cure is always the opposite. If the wind's blowing in your face from the north, if you want to stay warm, what do? Turn to the south. And now your face and your nose won't get frostbite, probably. So the antidote is always the opposite. And the opposite, I think, is for us to be godly examples, help our wives and our women in the body to be not feminist, but be Titus 2, godly females that be an example to other people. And people in the world see it. They see it, and if they're drawn, they're going to want it. They're going to come, and they can see the example being lived out. It's possible to do it. There's a great cost to it. It will cost you family, friends, your career, your job. People will hate you. Oh, yeah. But that's exactly what our Savior said it should be, so we know it's that which we should do. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, unless anybody got anything else, I'm going to leave it right there. Anybody else got anything?
Maybe I'd like to toss in a warning there in case there's a seeker that's listening to this. Beware of ditches, I guess, would be my warning. If there's a seeker listening to this, and you see this feminization around you, beware of the other ditch, because there are so-called movements out there that supposedly are all about being manly, and there's lots of wicked heretic men, you know, Jordan Peterson and all that crowd in there that are trying to teach you what it means to be a man, but it's not going to make you a godly man of God. It's going to make you into a fleshly, prideful, arrogant beast and not a man.
Yeah.
You're not going to be a man of God. You're going to be a fleshly beast and a brute who's basically going to do what he wants and thinks he has the right to do it. Beware of that ditch. If you want to be a man, you have to be a man according to what God says, or you're in another sin. So I guess I'd just like to toss that warning in there, because there are movements out there to push against feminism, but they basically jump right into the other ditch of being sinful, prideful, fleshly men who think they have the right to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, amen. And I would back that up and say, Sister Ahmed and I preached at something called the Stronger Men's Conference. And this is exactly what you're talking about. So they say, be a man in today's culture. But they don't take on feminism. You know why? Because they're all feminized and their wives lead them around by the nose. And their wives dress like harlots. And their wives are running the house. And their wives are approving of lesbianism and gay things and transgender and all this stuff. You know what these guys do? They go to a conference. They bring in national speakers. And they pump them up with toxic masculinity. You know, like, men, go and work out 2 hours a day. You'll feel like a man. And then they're talking about these men going and doing manly camps where they carry logs around on their shoulders. And they run around making sounds and patting each other on the back and doing war games and tug of war. Yeah, I said that men shouldn't be soft, and the men of old were physical men. But that was for a purpose. That was to make a living. That was to protect their women. That was to house their children. That was to feed them. The men that Patrick's talking about are the men that turn it into like a hobby to work out with weights and pride and vanity. And it's all a outside fleshly masculinity. And it's not a spiritual masculinity, which is a man that leads his house, speaks against all of the sin in the world, stands in the doctrines and the oracles of God. Yeah, he can raise food if he needs to. He can defend his family from a grizzly bear if he has to. I get it. But they take away the spiritual, doctrinal, biblical way. And as Patrick is saying, they just teach you to be a man that runs around wearing a muscle shirt and thinking that you're cool. And that is absolutely not the answer to this. Muscle is not the answer here. Spiritual backbone and holiness is the answer. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Good. We're not just called to be men. We're called to be men of God.
Men of God. Yeah, not masculine men that can beat each other up. Literally, okay, you know how bad it is in the world? No, in churchianity. There is a place down in south of where Brother Kevin lives, in Springfield, Missouri. They started a ministry, and it was to make men men. And you know what they started their ministry, what they did to bring men in? MMA fighting. They literally brought men in. MMA fighting is where they kick each other in the face, punch each other. There's a lot of bloodshed. Sometimes guys are knocked out cold. If that ain't bad enough, they would draw them people in with MMA fighting. These men are Christians, by the way, in the ring fighting. And they're praying and thanking God after they beat the snot out of each other. Then they would have church service right after they watch the bloody barbarian games. But wait, it gets one step worse. Do you know what they decided to do to take it to the next level? They had pastors fighting each other to make men manly. And so-called men of God, pastors, were getting in the ring and beating up on each other. And this was very popular. It's still going on, and people love it. That's how sick. That's the other ditch that you're talking about, right, Patrick?
Yeah, and it's all over.
It's sickening. And, yeah, so we need to be the examples and show people, no. No, Paul says physical exercise is of little avail. We're not to be violent and covetous and carnal. We're to be, as Patrick said, men. And then the key word is, we're to be godly men. That means in his word, by his instructions, his doctrines, walking according to his order and holiness. And I'm happy to know you men that are striving for that. And I praise you for that. God's glorified in your lives because I see you doing that. Good for you, brothers.
Thank you, brother.
Anybody got anything else?
No, that was all I had.
I'll just throw in one last thing about that last point. God hates those that love violence.
Amen. Good one, brother.
Amen.
Good one. All right, brothers. Thanks for this. I think this will be edifying to lots of people. Thanks for your time.